Hey, everybody, you're about to listen to our brand new podcast, Nightmare Neighbors. And if you like it, please do me a favor. Leave us a review on Apple Podcasts. In exchange for that, I'm going to put you into a drawing for a $250 Amazon gift certificate, gift card, whatever you want to call it, gift credit, whatever it is these days. Anyway, all you have to do is leave that review on Apple Podcasts. Send me the screenshot. Send it to Tony@nightmareneighbors.com. And then shortly, I'll be picking one person at random and sending you that Amazon gift card for $250. Yes, just leave the review, Apple Podcasts. That's what helps spread the word that this show exists, that people know about it. Those reviews are tremendously helpful in us getting this show off the ground. So if you like it, please leave us that review on Apple Podcasts. Send me the screenshot to Tony, T-O-N-Y, at nightmareneighbors.com, and you'll be in the drawing for that Amazon gift card. I hope you like the show. I hope you can take the 30 seconds to leave the review and get yourself that drawing for that gift certificate. Now, without further ado, Nightmare Neighbors, everybody. When people can't control their pets, how do you as a neighbor deal with it? When a dog is out of control, you can't reason with the neighbors. Can you reason with the dog? What do you do to keep your sanity? That's today on Nightmare Neighbors.
Sometimes the people who reside just steps from your front door turn out to be the craziest you'll ever meet. Ever have a nightmare neighbor? Share your story now by calling 888-68-CRAZY or write in at nightmareneighbors.com. This is the Nightmare Neighbors Podcast.
That it is. And let your friends know that we exist. Give us a review there on Apple Podcasts. Press subscribe, whatever platform it is you listen to us on. And yes, share your Nightmare Neighbor story with us anonymously. Phone number is 888-68-CRAZY, or you can write in on our website, nightmareneighbors.com. This is a podcast I really wasn't expecting to get going yet, but in light of quarantine and everything that everyone's going through, I've just had an influx of people saying, oh my God, I have nightmare neighbor stories as well as ghost stories. Can we do a podcast about that? So the answer is yes. So if anything good is going to come out of the quarantine, we created another podcast. So there you go. It's Tony and Sean joining you on today's episode of Nightmare Neighbors. And I think we have our fair share of nightmare neighbor stories that we can relate as we go through the shit show that is going to be today's episode.
Hey, neighbor. Tony, you left your garage door open. Just wanted to let you know. Just wanted to come over. I saw it was open for about 7 minutes.
And I watched you the other day with binoculars put the code into it, so I knew the code to press to get it to close and to open as well. I just thought it'd be good if I have that for you as well, just in case.
I just wanted to let you know I know the code. I know you leave that door unlocked into the garage. Never have I ever just come on over and checked out the fridge in your actual kitchen, but just wanted to let you know, friendly neighbor. Hey, Linda baked some cookies, the ones I know you hate. Would you like a dozen?
I know your teenage daughter sleeps on her right side, and she goes to bed at approximately 8:30 at night. And
Jen was wearing a lovely lavender cardigan the other day when she was sitting on the couch watching Food Network. You used to cook back in the day, right, Tony? I know you've only lived here 3 months, but I've done my due diligence. Just being a friendly neighbor.
Just here for you. Here for you. If you ever need me, just let me know. Let me know. I'm here for you.
Those knives. Yeah, that's just a hobby. Just a hobby.
888-68-CRAZY is our phone number to call in your nightmare neighbor story, or you can write in at nightmareneighbors.com. We would love to get those stories, and that's how we fuel this show, is with your stories. So if you're sitting there going, I love these stories, great. Share yours, because that's how the show works. So please do share your nightmare neighbor stories with us completely anonymously. Let's go to our first story. Coming in today, it says a new neighbor seems so perfect. The bumper sticker on their car in the driveway said something about kindness. Plus, they had dogs. When she was checking out the house with the realtor, our dogs barked and she laughed and said, no worries, we have 3 rescues. Seriously, I was sure I had just met my new BFF. Both of my dogs rescued dogs, and we also fostered. I was thrilled that I might have someone to walk the dogs with and maybe even invite her to volunteer with the rescue where I help. It was such a relief. Our previous neighbors had not been the best. They had traded in their sweet senior dog for two hunting dogs. You heard that right. They gave away a 14-year-old dog who had never known any other family just to make room for new dogs. And they bragged about their new acquisitions. I had to bite my tongue so hard, I'm surprised I did not bite it off. But hey, to my delight and relief, they moved away. But these new neighbors were perfect. I'd not have to see that awfulness unfold again with these cool, animal-loving people. Our kids were about the same age, too. I stopped by and introduced myself and my 3-year-old daughter once they had moved in, and things were going well. One morning, a week or so after they moved in, he was out in their backyard working on something. A realization slowly dawned on me, and I had an overwhelming feeling of dread. He was building a metal cage for their dogs in the backyard. The cage was completed. Fortunately, it was under their deck, so at least the pups would have some shade in the summer. But as the days grew hotter and their water bowl grew greener with algae, I was starting to boil. When she was outside one day, I asked innocently, "Are they all outside dogs?" She replied, "Oh, yeah, they tear up the house then when you keep them in, so we just leave them out here." Anyone ever hear of crate training? Anyone? Then summer turned into fall and winter, and finally, during a February ice storm with ice pellets hailing down and temperatures hovering around -6, I looked outside, and the dogs were still outside in their cage. They'd not even been brought them inside the garage for the freaking ice storm. I'm not big on confrontation, like not at all, but I decided to do something. I printed out an article on how to care for pets in cold weather with a strong emphasis on bringing them the hell inside in an ice storm and put it in their mailbox. Fast forward a month, a second worse ice storm, and the dogs were again outside and this time free in the yard, not even in the cage. I took a deep breath and walked over to their house and I knocked on their door. He answered. I told him his dogs had no shelter and needed to go inside. He said, "Uh-huh, thanks," and shut the door. 5 minutes later, our doorbell rang. He was red-faced and shouted, "Did you put that flyer about dogs in our mailbox?" I said, "Yes." I explained I'd not wanted to be confrontational, but that I thought they needed a little info on how to deal with cold weather and pets. At this point, he turned the tables and totally went off about how our dogs barked at them whenever we go outside to eat on the deck. He threatened to call animal control if it happened again. Okay, so admittedly, our dogs had barked a couple of times, but we always brought them back inside as soon as it started. And dudes, dogs will bark, especially if you're an asshole. No, I did not say that, but you know, dogs know. I told him he needed a license to have 3 dogs, which was the city policy at the time. That stopped him in his tracks, and he left. I did not attempt to share any educational information with them again. Months passed, so did their dogs, all 3 of them. So now they have a new dog, and guess what? That thing barks its head off at everything. Squirrels, falling leaves, bugs, anyone who walks by, and of course us. Every single time our dogs or we dare to take a step outside, and the bark is insane, like heart-stopping, Cujo-level insane. Their lame attempt at stopping it, not training. They are bringing it inside, just yelling, "Cut it out!" loudly enough through the downstairs window. They work from home too, so really, the dog probably thinks they're just barking along with it. I've gotten to the point where it almost just makes me laugh hearing them yell at it every single time. Some people may agree with them and think I am the pain in the butt, nosy neighbor for speaking up or even caring. But honestly, I just wanted to see those dogs taken care of. My bad. So there you go. That's a common one with the dogs and the neighbors and the people who can't seem to, control their dogs. It's like controlling kids, too. You know, some people just can't seem to have control over things around them that they should be responsible for.
It's very unfortunate, I think, for me, to a fault. I do what I can, if not move to the worst case scenario of barking dogs. Because it's a situation where you be friendly, you be kind, you just say, "Hey, do you know that you have a dog? It's a living, breathing animal. Mm-hmm. It's not a plant. and you can't just leave it out of the yard. You may win the short battle of maybe having them change, but that's your neighbor. And specifically, if you own the home, they own the home. It's a long-term investment of you guys being street mates.
Yeah.
If you piss them off, and that's but for me personally, being the animal lover I am, I mean, I would run the risk of ruining that relationship and then literally moving just for the well-being of the animals. That's me, though.
What would you do in that situation if you were there and you saw the dogs were out there in the ice storm and the neighbors just don't care and you can't reason with them and, you know, making suggestions, however passive aggressively it may be, but you're trying to avoid confrontation, they're just not responding. Do you jump the fence? Do you go into the yard? Do you do anything? I mean, what can you do legally, you know?
I immediately call Animal Control, the local Humane Society, and tell them the situation and have a paper trail and pictures and evidence. It's one thing if it's 65 and sunny and they're just barking their head off because it's an annoying little fucker. But you know what? It's a dog and he's a rescue and he's adorable and he's got a little bit of Tourette's. But you just deal because you deal. Mm-hmm. But if it is a legitimate, continuous, you know, it was below freezing for over a week and they're bowl has been empty of water for over a week when it's 85 plus degrees, I got Animal Control on speed dial and they'll come and hopefully take them.
Can they do that though? I mean, can they just show up and do such a thing? Does it have to?
If there is, and that's the paper trail example, yeah. Just calling one afternoon and saying, hey, they're terrible humans.
Yeah.
Maybe not. But if you have factual evidence, or pictures or recordings or timestamps, that is, you know, because then when they will come back to the Humane Society and say, these are my dogs, no, they're actually not anymore, because for the last X days or what have you, they basically have hypothermia. So no, they're not. And you can try to go to court, but it is for the animal's well-being. So that's just, again, for me, I mean, I have a lot higher threshold of annoyance of dogs barking than maybe some people. But for me, it's, I don't care how dumb of humans I live next to. If the dogs are suffering, I will do what I need to do to bring on that awkwardness that I may have with my neighbors.
Yeah. Unfortunately, that's the thing you always got to look out for is the awkwardness that will always be there. And it's an interesting thing when you transition from the world of like living in apartments to a house. You are kind of, I mean, if you've been doing it for a while, you're kind of accustomed to the, well, I'll move soon or they'll move soon. That's not always the case in a house. The house thing is like, this could last for a long, long time. It could last forever, really, potentially, depending on how long you plan on staying in that house. And so you got to kind of weigh all those things of, is it worth it to cause the confrontation that will then make things awkward and uncomfortable every single day for the next eons of years. And you know, there's certain things where you got to look at that line. And I think certainly it is worth it when it comes to the well-being of a living creature, where you gotta draw that line. You got to say, no, I've got to speak up about this. But when it comes to other things, you got to kind of watch that stuff. Cause it's like, well, you know, is it worth it? Is it not? And that's where you get the nightmare neighbor stories. 888-68-CRAZY is our phone number to share your nightmare neighbor story with us. Here's another one. This letter starts out, let's call this neighbor Jin. They think they're naming their neighbor after the drinks that they enjoy. It says, Jin is an alcoholic. I first met Jin at work. I had a job a few years back at a small booth in a shopping center. One day at the start of my shift, my boss introduces me to Jin. She was friendly and seemed to pick up the job quickly. She was okay to work with, so there was no issue. Then came her second day of employment. Oh boy, turned up to work, slurring her words and getting way too close for comfort, complimenting my earrings and getting in my face and grabbing them. I've been around alcoholics before and know the signs, so I immediately called my boss to let her know. Her employment there was short-lived. She was fired on her second day. Well done, Jin. I hoped I'd never have to deal with her again. Oh, how I was wrong. I live in a unit complex, 20 units. And a few years after what happened at work, I heard from one of my neighbors that a lady named Jen had just moved in. Oh, no, I thought, please do not let it be her. But you guessed it. It was her. At first, she was genuinely nice and friendly, but that soon changed. My unit complex has allocated parking for some, but not all of the residents. I have an allocated car space, but Jen does not. But this did not stop her from leeching off some of the neighbors that have allocated parking, but no car. She'd park there in their car spaces. She had sweet-talked them to let her do this. This all went sour after a few months when a huge feud started between a few of the residents. Jen could not park in the car space anymore and instead started parking in mine, which thankfully did not last long when the owners of the units introduced stricter rules about parking. Jen ended up parking on the road, which made her drunkenly stumble down the driveway towards her car a lot more obvious. Soon after she lost her license, the other residents reported her drunk driving to the police, and I think there was a drunk driving charge while she was out one day. After all this, her driving got worse. Hardly ever see her now. She's usually home and drinking excessively most days. How do I know this? The sneezing. It sounds weird, but when she's drinking, she sneezes very loudly for hours at a time, as loud as physically possible. I'll try to film it so you guys can hear it, and I'll send it in. Please tell me if you or anyone who sneezes like this when they are drunk. Everyone I've told about it thinks it's bonkers, which it kind of is. So there you go. Someone who, do you ever have that where you had either a neighbor or maybe a coworker or just someone in life where it ended not well and you ended up having to come across them again later in life, and you really thought, hoped, or just expected, there's no way in hell we're ever going to cross paths again. And yet you did.
So I may be the minority in that both of us working have a background in radio. You move across the country and you move quite a bit. So I have been almost a unicorn of sorts where any awkward situations, whether it be bosses, whether it be past girlfriends, whether it be past neighbors where I've moved away, I can't think in my memory of a situation where I was then forced to be, oh, hey, how are you? This is very unfortunate because when you move across the country multiple times, not many times do you run into them. So in my memory, and I'm going to give it more thought when you possibly bring up something where you had to come about them. No. And I'm crossing my fingers and not wanting to jinx myself talking about it anymore than I just have.
Suddenly going to be at the grocery store and like, oh, hey, remember that?
I've seen you since 09.
I mean, it's one thing where it's like an ex, you know, relationship or something, and people happen, you know, that happens. But it's sometimes it can be even worse when it's something where it was like a job related thing, and it really, you know, altered someone's employment, and that employment can then alter their living situation, and can alter so many damn things very quickly. I've run into that, not necessarily. And you know what? I do have a weird neighbor story that does kind of portray to that, because I have some employment stories that I've talked about in other shows where I've run into people years later that were just horrible human beings that I was involved in getting them fired for good reason, but then running into them. But here's one that I had. It's a neighbor story. When I was a teenager working in radio, there was a couple other people in that building that worked for the like the mobile DJ service that was run out of the building. And they were, you know, they were friendly. They were about my age, but a lot of them were really kind of jealous that I was working on the radio and they were working at, you know, the weddings around town and playing Backstreet Boys for Candace and Gary on Saturday night. As they're getting married at the local JC's.
Get on the dance floor. We're going to go back old school for this one.
So it was like always kind of like an okay relationship. You know, I was always trying to be friendly, but I could always tell there was some tension there when I'd see them around the building. Anyway, you know, so you move on. It's years later. I had moved away and moved on to other radio stations and stuff, but I'd actually ended up going back to my hometown and working at my original station again for a several month stint between some other stations. And I had gotten an apartment in my hometown. And so, of course, you know, you're bound to run into people that you know, and that's fine. And I'm in this apartment, and it's super, like, paper-thin walls. I mean, like, oh, my God, I can't believe how noisy you can hear everything in this building. And I'm in, there was a two-bedroom, I'm in one of the bedrooms, and this is the wall that is shared. On the other side, there's another unit. And oh my God.
No, I know where this is going.
Every single day. Because I worked evenings, so I was there during the day normally. And every single day at like 1 o'clock in the afternoon, 2 o'clock in the afternoon, it's like just kind of odd hours for this to be going on. You could hear rough and violent sex going on through the walls. And I didn't know who my neighbors were yet. I was just like, oh, God. And it was like, he's got her against the wall, like very like throwing against the wall. It almost sounds like, because the wall's like pounding, and it's you can hear every damn word and everything. It was just like there was you'd think if somebody was walking down the hall, you'd think somebody had a porn on at high volume. But I knew it wasn't because
what I was going to say is I didn't know that I had my laptop open living next to you. So I do apologize for that.
It was crazy. The only reason I knew it wasn't that was because you could like feel the walls and the part, you know, that portion of the building like reverberating from the violence of what was going on. And I was like, oh, Jesus. And so it's like, what do you say? You know, I don't know if you can say anything. I was new to this building. So I'm walking down the hall one day, and this had been going on every day repeatedly. And I also, I'm walking by this person's door, and the door opens. I'm like, oh, shit. And he didn't know who I was yet, that I was the neighbor. And all of a sudden, I keep going down the hall, and I hear, Tony?
No.
And I'm like, oh, God. Like, somebody knows me. And I turn around, and it's one of those guys that I used to work with years ago. He was about our age, but now he does something else. And I didn't recognize him at first because he had, like, crazy facial hair before crazy facial hair was even in. And I'm like, hi. And he goes, hey, it's me. And I'm not going to say his name, but I'm like, oh, hey. He's like, do you live here? I'm like, yeah, I'm right down here. And he's like, oh, we're neighbors. And he's completely oblivious to the fact that I can hear every single time he's having violent sex with his girlfriend. Every day. And I don't know if you realize that, it's not like you're going to be like, hey, have you heard the violent sex I'm having every day? You know, that would not probably be what would come up in conversation. But it was strange nonetheless to have that moment in the hall of him making that realization that we're neighbors, and that I realized it was him that was making the strange animalistic noises with his girlfriend every day.
Well, I guess you could say he was really playing the hits and packing the dance floor that afternoon.
God, it was really bizarre.
Who moved first? How did that end?
I don't remember if I moved first. I don't remember who moved first, quite honestly. It slowly kind of stopped. I think maybe they broke up. Or so, I don't know. I think they broke up because it did stop. Either that or... I don't know. I don't remember what happened, but one of the bigger kickers to the whole thing, on top of this being someone that was our same age and that we had gone to school together and all of this. And now keep in mind, I'm sure in the hallway you could hear the animal sex as well. The neighbor across the hall was a retired school teacher of ours that we had also also had years prior, like elementary type age. And now she's like in her 70s or I don't know, maybe even 80s at the time. And she was real sweet. I would like sometimes I'd help her bring her groceries up and everything. But it was just weird because I know she knew who I was and she knew who he was. And then I can only imagine her walking through the hall hearing these noises and then wondering. And I was always concerned like she was going to think it's me because the doors are right by each other. It's only one's guess as to where the sounds are coming from. All I could hope is that maybe her miracle ear is turned down as she's going through the hall. But it was just the most awkward, awkward apartment situation I ever had.
What's very interesting is people that live in apartments are completely naive and don't understand, oh, this is probably not the most soundproofing home that I live in. I don't live on a farm. I don't live in my own compound. I don't live acres away from people. I live maybe inches. Or what's a little bit more appalling, I suppose, they don't care.
Well, you have the mix.
Do what they do. What was that?
You have the mix. You can't say everybody that lives in apartments like that because they're not. I mean, it's you. I feel like you have so many. The years where I did it, it was either you were super vigilant and super caring and super considerate of your neighbors, or like not at all. There wasn't like a whole lot of like, oh shoot, I'm sorry, I won't do that. It was more like, oh my gosh, I'm really going to be, you know, sensitive to everybody else's, you know, needs and noise concerns, you know, or fuck the world. There was very little like in the middle as far as people.
You're
being
lucky
considered.
I shut the door. I could have left the door open for this afternoon lifetime.
Yeah.
After school special-a-thon. It's interesting. You mentioned hearing and when you asked if I had a situation where I came across somebody again and I couldn't remember, during your sexathon story of your high school mate, I came across one in the sense of I always liked to live on the top floor in having lived in apartment complexes. Most people loathe it as far as moving in or moving out, and they hate it. I personally enjoy it because, A, it's kind of a built-in exercise routine. If you go to the grocery store and you got to go up three flights of stairs.
Sure.
You feel less like a fat ass. Also, you are on the top floor. So you basically are the leader of how nice or vigilant you are of your downstairs neighbors. Mm-hmm. And I understand whatever floor you live on, it's your home. So you're gonna do what you do and you're going to live how you live. But personally, living on a floor unit where I had upstairs neighbors, there was a situation where there were roommates that lived upstairs and they were living the college life as far as getting home late at night. But they also had actual jobs in the morning. So I'm not sure when they slept, but here's the thing. They arrived home and I'm not sure why, but they would always like to wear high heels. I think it was two girl roommates. Mm-hmm. And I guess, and you both being fellas, I'm not sure how this works. When girls get ready, does Jen ever test out shoes before you guys leave to go out to dinner? Do you have to like walk the runway, if you will? I swear it's like they walked up and down the halls before they left every single time in high heels, and the noise, I wanted to rip my ears out.
I think some women do that to a certain extent, yeah.
Well, okay, then good for them, but good for them not being their downstairs neighbors. It got to the point for me, and everybody has their sensitivity, whether it's hearing, whether it's smell, whether it's sight. For me, in my home, when I'm at home, I don't want to hear my neighbors any more than a reasonable amount. Maybe the mm-hmm. TV's too loud, etc. And this was just way above that, to the point of where I lived, the apartment community, they were building new construction, new apartments, and I ended up moving. The day I got my keys after signing the lease, going through the shit of moving, I noticed my upstairs neighbors at the other apartment community, their car is in this new construction parking lot. I see them. They moved to the new apartment complex as well. And the whole fucking reason I moved was to not be their downstairs neighbor. But I will say the silver lining, and to avoid any awkwardness aside from I don't want to ever talk to you, I was on the top floor. So mm-hmm. I'm not sure if they were neighbors below me, but I assure you I was very conscientious when I wore my high heels to not clomp across the floor.
I was just going to say, did you just go and invest in high heels for the sake of spite?
I was on the patio. I was outside. It was cement patio. You couldn't hear it.
Spite high heels. And you're just, you're like, is he cross-dressing or what? Like, no, it's just out of spite. He's not into it. He's just doing it out of spite to the neighbors. That's all that is. Oh, okay. Well, that's cool.
That's totally good.
Yeah. 888-68-CRAZY is our phone number to share your nightmare neighbor story with us. Let's go to our next one. It says, I've been living in my apartment for over 2 years and my upstairs neighbors are the absolute worst. It started about 8 months ago when I noticed that there was a lot of garbage in my backyard. My backyard wraps around the entire apartment complex, only 8 units, and it's gated off. I noticed that there was a window open upstairs, so I assumed that the neighbor was throwing his garbage out of his window into the backyard. I found out that the family above me is 2 adults and 2 teenage boys. Not to make assumptions, but I am about 99.9% positive they're on drugs. The mother is very overweight. The father is always talking to himself and flailing while walking to our corner store. He scared me, so I steer clear when I see him. They do not shower ever. And we do not pay for water, so there's no excuse. Their teen boys come out of the apartment covered in food on their clothes, greasy hair, and horrid BO. It's sad because I feel their parents do not help them with hygiene. Their unit reeks of cigarette smoke to the point you can smell it in our walkway. Last couple of months have been the worst. For about 3 or 4 hours each day, I hear pacing back and forth nonstop. Since they're directly above me and our units match, I can hear where they start and in their pace. It's extremely repetitive, and at times it's so loud it wakes me up. For a while, I thought the woman was pacing to get exercise. My landlord said that's exactly what she was doing. I complained about the pacing and the other issues that I've had with them. He told me that he is ready to kick them out, but he cannot until the other unit that is available is rented. The most recent incident, we just recently purchased a barbecue and weightlifting bench so we can be active outdoors, but also quarantined in our backyard at the same time. Today, when I went outside to start the barbecue, I noticed a puddle on the ground. I looked up and the window was open to the neighbor's unit. I got closer to the puddle and got a huge whiff of human urine. In other words, the neighbor's son had started peeing out his upstairs window into my backyard. I'm at a loss for words. This is so disgusting to me. I'm not sure if I can call the cops or what I do, because apparently my landlord just wants his money because he cannot have 2 vacant units. Not to mention I have a dog who I'm worried the son is going to mess with one day because he's posted about animal abuse, killing people, Satanism, and torture on social media. So there you go. Hashtag we're all in this together. It's like, what the fuck do you do when that's, you got the kids peeing out the window upstairs and you find out you got Mini Dahmer kind of starting to act out on social media?
Ooh, that's the trifecta right there. The stinky neighbors, classic. You're always, whether it's a 4-unit building or a 260 unit, somebody's going to forget to buy some Irish Spring.
Mm-hmm.
But you factor in the pacing, then you got the noise levels. But then when the little man starts going number one out the upstairs window, mm-hmm. I think that's to the level, that's past annoyance. I mean, I would imagine that it's a very tough spot for the landlord to be in. And I understand that he's dependent, or she is, on that rent. But you have to have a certain level of collective standards that is impeding on other tenants. And I would like to think public urination is one of them.
You would think they would kind of follow one of those things if it's not acceptable. Obviously, if this is just it's a kid, the kid's probably acting out because he's in such a horrible surrounding. And so you got to feel bad that the kid is in this situation. But this is the thing, and this is interesting sometimes because I know there are child protective services and such, but there are also so many things that child protective services can't do. And sometimes I feel like it would be easier for someone to call a phone number and get those dogs out of the backyard that were there in the ice storm versus getting the kid out of that house with those parents that are horribly neglectful and addicts and just shit human beings. I feel like sometimes the system's kind of messed up that way, where there's more opportunities for a pet to be rescued than there is for the people. And that's not to say that this is not good to rescue pets. It is. But it's just scary that sometimes people can be even more danger and for long periods of time. And there's more things protecting them, or protecting the insane parents to keep people like that essentially captive, you know?
I think there is a middle ground where if you do not commit such heinous of neglect or a crime that they can go in on, and obviously a model citizen family, there's a middle ground where you look at it and say, okay, subjectively, this is garbage. Mm-hmm. You should not have children. This should not be a living situation that you choose to put yourself in, but you have not done enough here, there, or everywhere to allow us to intervene and do something. And I would imagine in a collective living environment in an apartment community, the second biggest sufferer of the kids or anybody in that family is if you're living next door, where you want to do something and you want to help.
Yeah.
And in one part of your brain, it is absolutely annoying beyond belief, because every time you go by the door after you get home from work at the grocery store, you want to puke because of the smell. But then also you get to hear or see what is happening, the sadness in that living situation, and you can't do a darn thing to help it.
Yeah, that would be, and with my mind, that's what would drive me more nuts than anything else, is the helplessness of what, you know, you can't do anything for justice, because my mind is such justice oriented, where it's like, if this is something's being wrong or someone is being wronged and this needs to be fixed now. But unfortunately, we live in a world where that's, you know, very difficult to find justice when things are happening, or the hoops that need to be jumped through and every box needs to be checked just right and everything needs to be just so. Otherwise, oh, out the window. It's they can keep doing this, and it's just utterly insane. So, I mean, I feel horrible for those children, but you know, if you're the neighbor in that situation, you got to be going fucking nuts. And that's one of the shocking things I think about living in when I was living in apartments. It was when you walk down the hall and somebody has their door open. Sometimes you see people in the halls. This was what was most surprising to me. When you see people in the hall without their door open, you kind of make an assumption about maybe how the inside of their house is. How do they keep their things up? And more times than not, I was wrong on that. I remember specifically my very first apartment complex that I lived in, or apartment building I lived in Wausau. There was a professional gentleman who lived down the hall from me. Business person, you know, I don't know. He was a bit older in age, but you could maybe divorced or something. He had a nice car, and you just assumed, oh, he must have a really nice, well-kept apartment. But I remember walking down the hall one day and his door's like wide open. I think he was trying to get some stuff out of there. And it looked like it was a frat house from a movie. It's just like shit was everywhere, like just hoarder stuff everywhere, all over the ground. And I'm just thinking, oh my God, how does he live like this? And then sometimes you have the folks who you walk by and you make the judgment call of, you know, the profile of, oh my goodness, it's probably really crappy because of how they keep themselves and how they present themselves. And then you see theirs and it's like the most immaculately clean place in the world. So, you know, you can't always judge by appearances as far as what that house is going to look like or that living space is going to look like. It's just, it's an interesting observation.
And what is interesting, and this may be another show, another example, is when you go over to their place or you see their place, that's one thing. But then if they ever stay with you, it's one thing if it's a neighbor, okay? It's one thing in their habitat.
Mm-hmm.
But when they have if it's a sleepover, or maybe it was a neighbor where you lived next door, or then you moved, and then they came to visit, upon them entering your home, you then get to know a lot about them that you wonder, how in the hell, or more particular, why did I invite you to stay here? Because, and let me just tell you, that neighborly, what have you, that extends into colleagues.
Mm-hmm.
And let me just say, hypothetically, it involved me and you and a lamp and a bit too many beverages one night in central Wisconsin.
I was going to say the last time I had anyone stay over at my house, other than like my parents, there was this guy who came in and used a lamp as a trash can and threw up in it.
Okay, so here's the thing. Everybody's gone to college, and whether you've actually gone to college, in air quotes, or you've lived a life of going to college.
Yeah.
That's just a part of life. We all grow up. We all lose our baby teeth. We get adult teeth. It's just something that you do, okay?
Yeah.
Whether it be drinking a lot, whether it be whatever, you go through a stage. So this was when Tony worked in radio, about an hour and a half from where I went to actual college. So
it was like 20 years ago.
I also worked at that station in a part-time capacity. Tony was very high on the totem pole. I was a peasant. So I worked on the weekends, and whenever I would be in town, we would get together, grab high-end dinners at Applebee's, and he would drive the radio station vehicle and use the gift certificate, and I almost broke even in how much gas I would pay to get there of how much I actually made, and good times had by all. So as it was a college town. We went for a few brewskis, and here's the thing. Beer was kind of my backstory growing up, and you more so enjoyed the higher end, what have you.
Yeah.
Which, here's the thing, if you're used to shit beer, and then you go to the higher end stuff, that'll fuck you up. Let me just say that. So, and when I say fuck you up, I will say when Tony was gracious enough to let me just crash in the guest bedroom, and when you're maybe a little intoxicated and you wake up in the middle of the night, and what have you, you will have a little bit of confusion of a garbage can or maybe a toilet, because you're going to get rid of the martinis that you consumed earlier in the evening, with a standard lamp where you and what's interesting, and again, who knows, and we've all been there staying at the friends puking on a lamp, is when you take the shade off of the lamp. So in my head, I'm thinking, well, I don't want to dirty the lamp shade.
No, the lamp looked like a garbage can. I'll give you that. It did. It looked like a glowing garbage can. But the fact that it was glowing should have been the tip-off that it wasn't a garbage can, that there was a light bulb illuminated in this. It looked like a tiny garbage can, and it was a lamp that was sitting on a nightstand, but I have a small garbage can in my office here. It's about that size, so I get where you would have seen it going, oh, garbage, but the fact that there was something illuminated coming out of it might have been the tip off this is not a garbage can.
And maybe the heat, I mean, because as you get closer to a light bulb, it's like stranger danger. So in any event, that happened. And to this day, I've not gotten him a new lamp, but I'll tell you what, there are some damn good deals right now during this quarantine specials, and I'll tell you what, man, you're going to get one coming up here by 2022.
Hey, I cannot wait. I cannot wait for that that lamp replacement. That's going to wrap up today's episode of Nightmare Neighbors. We'd love to hear your nightmare neighbor story. 888-68-CRAZY is the phone number, or write in at nightmareneighbors.com. Give us a review there on Apple Podcasts. Press subscribe and don't miss any of our episodes. Nightmare Neighbors. Until next time, for Sean, I'm Tony. Thanks for listening to the Nightmare Neighbors podcast. We'll